Welcome back to Cindy Celebrity Corner. I am your host, Cindy Gross. I promised you a very special guest with a very exclusive announcement, and I'm not going to let you down. Our next guest is actor Stephen Tobolowsky. You know him from movies. You know him from the Goldbergs. You know him from theater. And this is his first interview via Zoom, radio, through podcast about A Good Day at Auschwitz, which is something that you can actually listen to and get throughout the world. We're going to talk about that. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be in New York, just virtually, just happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And again, like I said, The list is endless. Groundhog Day and the Goldbergs. Tell us what it was like. I mean, you just lost George Segal. What was that like?
Oh, George Segal. I had a great moment with George. I had the moment that we all wish we had with people in our lives that matter to us. I've been on the Goldbergs for what, like 6 years? Something like that. 6, 7 years. Something like that. Never had a scene with George Segal. Never. But a couple years ago during a graduation show, they put George and I were sitting together in our little actor chairs. And he says, you know, I've never gotten to talk to you. And I said, George, I just want to say this one thing. When we were all students growing up in drama school, we didn't want to be Brando. We didn't want to be Charlton Heston. We wanted to be George Segal. And he starts laughing, goes, George, why do you want to be me? I said, because George, you were the one guy who could do everything. You could be in comedies, dramas, good guys, bad guys. You could be the handsome leading man. You could be the goofball. We wanted to do it all, and that was you. And this is the story he told me. He said, Stephen, I will tell you the story of how I got into acting. I was 10 years old. Now, some of your audience may remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, Art Linkletter's House Party. Do you remember that show?
I know. I'm older than you think. I'm a lot older than you think.
Well, you may remember on that show, they had this little segment, Kids Say the Darndest Things. Mm-hmm. George Segal, when he was 10 years old, was picked to be one of the kids to say one of the darndest things. And Art Linkletter, this is George's story to me. Art Linkletter said, we're going to ask you a question, and then you just think about it for a little bit and say the answer, and then the audience is going to laugh, and you just sit there. And George was going, but I don't know what the question is. I don't know what does... And Art Linkletter, who was a very kindly, grandfatherly, avuncular man, said, don't worry about it, George. Just sign the release. So George and his parents signed the release, and 20 comedy writers come into the room. And they start writing questions that Art Linkletter is going to ask and answers that little George is going to give. So the whole thing was phony. So they give George the question, and he memorizes the answer that the comedy writers gave him. And George said, at that moment, I knew I wanted to be an actor, because all you have to do is pretend you're thinking and pretend it's real. It was a great moment I had with George, and I'm so sad we lost him this year, but, you know, it's been a difficult year. Chalk it up to one of the horrors of the year.
Tell us about the project that you came on to discuss that many of our listeners know so much about, unfortunately, because they are either survivors or children of survivors or no survivors. So tell us a little bit about how you got to A Good Day at Auschwitz.
Yeah, Good Day at Auschwitz is a story that happened when I lost my mother, and I decided, because I'm an actor and constantly unemployed, I would try to honor her with the 11 months of going in and saying the Kaddish for her morning and evening, 11 months. And in this period of time, an old man in his 80s walked up to me, and he introduced himself to me, and he said, you're here for your mother, aren't you? And I said, how did you know? He said, it's the way you said the prayer. I could tell it was not for a wife and not for a child. He says, my name is Abe. Want to get breakfast sometime? And so I meet this guy, Abe Sarna, and A Good Day at Auschwitz is a story of my relationship with him, eating breakfast, saying the Kaddish for the 11 months, and our friendship that grew over that. And I found out that Abe was a survivor of Auschwitz. But it is the most incredible story you've ever heard, because he fell in love at Auschwitz.
Wow.
He fell in love at Auschwitz. The whole story is mind-blowing. His survival, and Abe is the most optimistic, a Abulian spirit. He is sunshine. And to think of the horrors he went through, and he was able to keep that optimism. So A Good Day at Auschwitz, I remember I wrote it. It was in my book, My Adventures with God, which was published with Simon & Schuster, and I did stories up at the yeshiva up in North Manhattan from Adventures with God. And my wife was hearing the story, and she goes, Stephen, you know, that's a play, and you need to call Alan Mendel, who's a great, great American actor. She said, he is the only man who could play Abe. And so we wrote this play, and Los Angeles Theater Works has recorded it, and I believe it's being released June 2nd.
Well, that's what I was going to share, and it's available anywhere around the world, anytime, and we will share it through Cindy's Celebrity Corner, so everybody has the information.
Wonderful.
I have to say, you said you're unemployed. That's not true. I think you've probably been in, what, a couple hundred movies?
A couple hundred movies. And the secret, well, the secret of my success is bald and glasses. Now, see, I thought when I was a young man, I wanted to be Hamlet and all these leading men, and I began losing my hair at the age of 24, and I was suicidal. I hated it. I thought this was the end of me, but being bald and having glasses has become my brand. You know, you never know what the blessings are when they're dealt to you.
I've also been in One Day at a Time.
Yes. One Day at a Time, Silicon Valley, oh gosh, so many movies. Groundhog Day, Sneakers. Oh, so many movies. Oh my gosh. I can't even think of them all. It's terrifying.
No, it's not. It's wonderful in Hollywood.
Well, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that way. And I'm lucky.
And you have a Hollywood marriage, and that's been going on a long time.
My wife, when we got married, she was, I would say, an Episcopal Baptist witch. I'm not really sure what her ethnic, kind of code of morality was, but when my mother passed away, at the same time when I'm going in to hear, Anne was with me, and she said afterwards, she went to evening classes for a while, and I didn't know what they were for, and she goes, Stephen, I'm converting to Judaism today, and I'm allowed to bring three witnesses. Will you be a witness? And I was like, what? You're doing what? And so we go up, and she goes into the mikveh, and I am like, and I said, why did you do this? Why didn't you tell me what you were doing? And she says, because, first of all, I'm doing it because of your mother. It's the way she lived and the way she loved. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I didn't want you to know anything about it, not to be a surprise, but I want this to be my decision and not yours. And the coda to this story is the old joke, never marry a shiksa. Never marry a shiksa, because I got to tell you, after she became Jewish, holy mackerel, she is so strict. She is so strict about everything. That was the end of shrimp and calamari, and that was the end kosher, and here we go, and all righty. You know, so now Anne keeps me in line. You know,
I could see the books in your background.
That was when I broke my neck. I broke my neck riding a horse on the side of an active volcano in Iceland.
Oh, wow.
You can't make that up. 2008.
That's the next play.
Yeah, that's the next. And, you know, there's nothing you can do really with a broken neck but kind of sit. And my whole life, I thought, I'm going to read the Talmud. that's something I want to do. Well, now I had all the time in the world. And so now I was forced to see if I'm going to keep my promise. So I got one book of the Talmud and I said, I'm going to start reading this book and just see. I'm not going to get the whole set. I'm just going to see what we did. And I start reading for a couple of weeks because I was in this neck brace for about 4 months. I start reading for a couple of weeks. I can't make heads or tails of what I'm reading. And then I come onto a section of the Talmud that was my life. It was called The Afflictions of Love. And it said in the Talmud that sometimes when we have an injury, a loss, a misfortune, it is not a curse but a blessing for God to give us the ability to see more deeply into our spiritual world. And I'm going like, oh my goodness, what happens if I'm carrying my affliction with me on my neck? You know, now I'm carrying my affliction with me every day. This is magnificent. And suddenly I had that attitude Abe had the whole time at Auschwitz. You know, like the affliction was around his neck and he grew. And so I chose that moment to kind of grow. And so these are various Talmuds I've read since then. I still haven't read the whole 71 volumes, but I'm on my way.
So that's incredible. And you grew up in Dallas.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, boy.
It was a Jewish neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. You know it. So we grew up in Oak Cliff, and this is not an – we had three Jewish families in Oak Cliff. There were more, and we use this word too frequently, but we had more Nazis in Oak Cliff. And I mean the guys who were card-carrying Nazis. I don't mean just people you want to say bad things about. Like on my elementary school basketball team, so it's a smaller group of people, our team went over to his house for sandwiches and milk after we lost one of our games, many games that we lost. He played the guard. In the living room, he had a bust of Adolf Hitler. He had German flags on either side. They had Stormtrooper magazine laid out on the fireplace. And on one side, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is pretty disturbing. But on the other hand, they are pretty, you know, there's something kind of freeing of the fact that they didn't feel the need to clean up after a Bund rally in their living room. You know, it's like crazy where we grew up. So my mother and father, that's one reason we were not terribly observant in Oak Cliff, because they didn't want us to become the targets of, you know, anti-Semitism. Natural.
And look where it's gone you today. We're going to be, like I said, June 2nd, we're going to be sharing a good day at Auschwitz. You're always welcome. Where can my audience find you?
They can find me personally. I'm on Facebook. Stephen Tobolowsky at Facebook.com. I'm on Twitter at Tobolowsky, where Los Angeles Theater Works, LATW, .org. This is where Good Day at Auschwitz is going to end up being. Los Angeles Theater Works .org, /season. But be looking for Good Day at Auschwitz. I'm sure it'll pop up on the internet somewhere and you'll be able to hear it.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will be sharing all the information. Such a joy, great stories, and we
thank you.
Back. Thank you.
Love to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.